Hello, I'm Eddie Merckx. Welcome to the VeloCast.
And welcome once again to another edition of the VeloCast. My name is Scott.
And I'm John.
Just for a change. Right.
I think people should know by now, actually.
Yeah, they probably should, but we just kind of fall into these habits. Hands up, everyone who thought that there was a danger that this year's Tour de France couldn't possibly live up to the excitement provided by the Giro, and that they also thought we were in for something as appealing as a Kevin Costner film. And I'm putting my hand up right now. I didn't think it was going to be exciting.
No, I didn't think it was going to be exciting. And I'm still not sure it is, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's been fascinating so far, and I thought it was another fascinating, for good or for bad, stage from Brussels to Spa. But before we get to what's probably the main talking point, shall we discuss the day's main break, which also provided today's stage winner?
Yeah, I mean, chapeau to Chavanel. Sylvain Chavanel won. And it's, I think, the first Frenchman since Veronk to win a stage and take the jersey at once.
Is that right?
No, it's my brain, so you know there's only a 50% chance that it's right, but I'm pretty sure it's right. He's a deserved winner. You know, he's given us great entertainment in the classics. And today, he rode a brave, intelligent race, handled his bike well. So, you know, chapeau, Sylvain. Brilliant ride. Brilliant ride.
Yeah, the break went very early on at just 17 kilometres in. And the Quickstep rider was joined by his countryman and teammate, Jérôme Pinot, in a group of eight that included Matthew Lloyd, Jürgen Reutlins, Marcus Burkhardt, Sebastian Turgo, Rein Taremi, and Francesco Garvazzi.
Easy for you to say.
I got there in the end.
You did. Well done. I'm impressed.
And they got up to, I think it was over 4.5 minutes. And at that point, I was thinking, okay, right, good break, fair enough. But of course, the peloton's going to catch them as soon as they see fit to.
And indeed, it yo-yoed up and down. And at one point, it was very soon, you know, very close to catching. It was down about 38, 40 seconds. And then it started to rain.
And boy, did it start raining.
Aye. And the interesting thing is, it quite often rains in the Ardennes. You know, there's a reason it's that, you know, it's that green. So yes. It shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody. No. I was watching it on Eurosport. In fact, I think I told you we are really busy at work just now because we've got folk off sick and all sorts of stuff. So I arranged my whole day around seeing the last 40k of the race.
And that's dedication, folks. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, you know, it's a struggle, but I do it just for you. and David Harmon, as the race progressed, David Harmon had ridden it on, believe it or not, Brad Wiggins' backup bike that morning.
Oh, my heart bleeds for him.
Aye. And David Harmon.
Where did we get the application form for that job?
I don't think we're good enough.
You're probably right.
But he'd ridden it, and all through the race, he was going, this is a really dangerous bit. This is a really dangerous bit coming up. So I think the DSs should have had Eurosport English on and chucked Harmon a few quid at the end, because he was given a really good indication of where the dangers were. And sure enough, the shit hit the fan and people fell off.
They certainly did. It was just before we get to that, it was on the Côte de Stockeau that Reutlins made a move and was joined by Chavanel, and the bunch basically split all over the road once Gavazzi had tumbled, and basically the rest of that breakaway group was going backwards immediately. But Chavanel was the one that made the most of the confusion caused by the day's significant crash and had a lead of over 3 minutes with 20 kilometres to go. Now, I love seeing a solo rider get the stage victory, but I would really have preferred to have seen it in much better circumstances than this.
Well, the thing is, I started getting really excited because we've talked about how unpredictable this week's going to be, you know, about today's stage with its Ardennes classic terrain and about tomorrow's stage over the pavé. And we knew there was going to be some surprises. I mean, we've been talking about it, we've been excited about it. And I saw Andy Schleck, holding his elbow in that classic, oh, bugger, I've broken my collarbone.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, God, that's a surprise. And there had already been some surprises. Cav had been dropped really quite, you know, like a stone. And the Stockout, I mean, I've been up the Stockout. It's a hard, hard climb. And I was thinking, how are we going to talk about this? I wonder how the other kind of favourites are. I wonder where they are. And some riders appeared at the foot. And it was Cancellara, Hushoft, Bernard Eisel was there. In fact, the kind of riders you'd expect to be there, because they're the kind of riders who do well in the classics.
Classics riders, yeah, absolutely.
Where you expect mixed terrain and mixed weather.
Hmm.
And then nobody else appeared. And it suddenly became clear that the race had split to pieces. You know, you had, I think, 4 odd minutes back to Andy Schleck. Armstrong and Contador were somewhere in the middle. Contador was delayed by a bike change and all sorts of stuff. And I was thinking, this is good, because what we're going to see is... I was thinking back to Greg LeMond, I think, in 91 or 92, punctured. And there was some great footage of the whole Zed Peugeot team essentially stopped by the side of the road waiting for him. And then they team time trial to get him back into the pack.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, we're going to see some Rhys tactical genius, because what we're going to see is he'll hold back Cancellara, he'll hold back Vocht. That's an awesome team time trial squad, even though there's no team time trial in the race today. And, you know, they'll get the Schlecks back up in a kind of damage limitation way. But instead, Rhys showed he was even more clever, because what he did was he sent Cancellara up to the race commissaire, and essentially they cancelled the rest of the race. Which, I'll be blunt, is a disgrace. You know, they're there to race. The terrain, they knew it was going to be an Ardennes Classic day, and this kind of day occurs with incredible frequency in Liège-Bastogne-Liège or Flèche-Wallonne, and you don't catch them sitting up and neutralising the race in those conditions. You know, and the riders who were equipped for it managed to get down that hill without falling off. So, you know, that's... It's just wrong. I'm sorry, it's just wrong.
No, I agree with you, John. I mean, Jens Voigt worked like a dog to get the Schlecks back to that group that you mentioned there, containing Lance Armstrong and Alberto Contador. And I've got nothing against Cancellara and the rest of Saxo Bank trying to kind of slow the peloton down in order for their teammates to catch up. But as you say, going and trying to neutralise the stage... Which they effectively did, because there was no sprint.
They completely did. I mean, it was a waste of time.
Yep.
And in fact, I think there were people booing them as they crossed the line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm all for the kind of cyclist code of honour that says you don't attack a competitor when they have a mechanical, for example. That's
absolutely. I mean, you're thinking back to, I mean, Ulrich going off the road and disappearing down a ditch, or Armstrong catching his, you know, brake lever in a Musette.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't attack those things. And just for the record, you know, Jan Ulrich didn't attack then. It's just revisionist from Armstrong to say that he did. But, you know, I get that. If you're in an attack or you're in a breakaway and bad fortune takes somebody out, it's rude to chase them.
Yeah.
But when the whole peloton has perfectly foreseeable accidents because they're riding the wrong way, you know, you take what you're given. You know, cycling is
part of the sport, John. It is just part of the sport.
You can tell I'm worked up about this.
No, and I think we both are. I mean, I've seen much worse conditions on a Tour de France stage, never mind an Ardennes Classic or anywhere else. And I've also seen much more dangerous routes than this. I mean, why don't we just draw raffles? You know, why don't we just draw straws for who's going to win the Tour, for God's sake?
Well,
because
no,
this is what it comes down to.
You don't need to draw straws. All you need to do is do away with the pesky terrain. All you do is you either start at the foot of a climb, you know, 5 or 6 climbs, and have a time trial and wait for good weather. Or, even better, take all the variability away and take all that ability to ride in varying conditions away and just have them sitting there kilometres, and the guy with the best power to weight ratio wins. Yeah, that's it.
Yep, well, I think we've solved it. This problem of taking people around entire countries for 3 weeks in a Grand Tour, pointless. Absolutely pointless.
You know, Andy Hampston, Gavia, he gets to the finish line. They say, I'm sorry, some of the guys didn't cope with the snow so well, Andy. You can't have the minutes that are going to win you this Giro.
Yeah.
Bernardino finishing in the snow in Liège, Bastogne-Liège, in the Ardennes. You know, they didn't say, actually, Bernard, you're just going to have to put up with no feel in one of your fingers for the rest of your life while you wait for the other guys to catch up. Was it the Passage du Bois where earlier Armstrong, was it 2001, 2002? I can't remember. But that stupid causeway they took folk over. Mm-hmm. Did they say, actually, you guys that were left behind, you can get your 6 minutes back? No, they didn't, because no. Cycling is about dealing with the terrain and the conditions as well as racing your opponents. And it's a farce to say everybody fell down, because everybody didn't fall down. The guys who are equipped for this kind of terrain arrived at the foot of that climb altogether. And whilst they might have saved Andy Schleck or, you know, Lance Armstrong's or Alberto Contador's race, what about Thor Hushovd, who held it together, got to the foot of that hill, bloody miles ahead of Mark Cavendish, and have his advantage in the green jersey taken away? It's a disgrace.
Yep. Speaking to Cycling News, Chris Horner from Team Radio Shack said they, talking about the organisers, put on a dangerous stage, and so when they put it on like that, they get the result they'll get. They got all their drama on the descent and they lost it all at the finish, and they got what they deserved. The only thing more stupid about this stage is the Pro Cycling Federation and Cedric Vasseur for ever letting a stage like this exist in the first place. There's no place in the Tour de France for a stage like this.
Well, in that case, we've been offered overtime tomorrow because we've got a few folk off. I'm going to take it, because if there's no place for a stage like today, tomorrow's going to be a procession.
Hmm. Well, what struck me about that, I'll finish off what Chris Horner was saying there. He said, when asked who orchestrated the decision for the go slow, he said it was nobody's idea and everybody's idea. You could feel it. I didn't even hear them talking about it, but you could just feel it happening. That's what they get, and sooner or later the riders are going to protest one way or another. Right, why not have the DSs or the teams, however, protesting about this kind of stage when the route is announced? Because it's been out for, 9 months?
Yeah, and it's the Ardennes. I mean, it's nothing surprising. When you see conditions like this in a Flèche Wallonne or a Liège-Bastogne-Liège, you rub your hands and go, Jesus, this is going to make a good race. And that's what was exciting about today. Accidents could happen. Luck could be bad. And that's what we wanted. The first week, we didn't want anybody hurt.
No, clearly. Absolutely not, no. And I'm glad that Schleck isn't injured and isn't out of the race. But by the same token, if you have a crash because of the conditions, then it's simply up to the rest of the other teams to either take advantage of that, or your own team paces you back into the race. Yeah. That's the sport.
You know, just as you need people who can climb, you need people who can handle these conditions, and they should have been nursing the likes of the Schlecks through, as opposed to popping out at the foot of the climb and wondering where everybody was.
Shall we stop ranting now?
I'm cross.
Yes, yes.
But to a certain point, I can understand why they did it, because it wasn't going to get any easier. But for a cycling fan, somebody who's aware of the history, aware of what's going on, on the terrain where they are, on the Stocco, and all the classic climbs of the Ardennes, they did a disservice to the history and spirit of the sport today. And I'm disappointed. And I fear for tomorrow. Because tomorrow we've been excited about the difference it can make, for the light GC guys.
Yeah.
I can see them neutralising the whole thing in case...
Well, that's it. I mean, the thing that we've been talking about, which is one of the huge potential risks and potentially a huge turning point for the entire tour, it's will Alberto Contador be able to manage across the pavé, which he has never ridden professionally in his life? Is it going to be a case that if Contador comes off, we just say, sod it, we'll neutralise the race?
Well, that's what that, going by today's logic, that's what's wrong.
Yeah, right.
And the whole thing is, to say a race shouldn't be decided by luck. Every year, Paris-Roubaix is decided by luck. Museo, there's been years where he's been clearly the strongest, but he punctures a few times. They didn't sit up and wait for him. This terrain demands hard men prepared to take risks. And this tour, I call into question whether we're going to see that happen.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I really, really hope you're wrong.
No, so do I. I really hope I'm wrong.
Mm. Right, let's turn our attention now to the more important topic of the La Gazzetta dello Velocast Tour de France mini league.
I haven't actually seen it today.
Do you know what?
Am I doing well?
I'm 141st.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you know what you are?
No.
39th.
Yeah, beauty.
Shut the front door. You're 39th.
We've got a couple of prizes in. So, as I said yesterday, if you're a retailer or a wholesaler and you want your name mentioned in the Velocast, get more prizes in, because at this rate, I might win.
No, that's not going to happen. I'll fix it so you don't.
The thing is, particularly if you've got somebody who's a bit fragile now, you're more confident in your team because nobody's going to fall off and be left behind now.
So it would seem. In first place at the minute, we have Slippery Doppers, it says, but I think it's supposed to be Dopers. Right. Second place, Napa Crushers, and at number three, Indigo. So well done to them.
39th, I'm quite chuffed with that, actually. Because I had a sinking feeling all the way through the Giro one.
Which language would you like me to swear at you in?
Thoughts, actually, before we talk about... whatever we're going to talk about in a minute. Tyler Farrar, Christian van der Velde, and a few other folk ended up in hospital after today. So, I mean, there was real risk, and people get hurt. But, you know, people get hurt in the Tour every year. It's part of being a racing cyclist. So, you know, get well soon and, you know, we hope they're okay. Before Scott finishes off, I'd like to mention that you can now order the rather wonderful Velocast cycling caps from Rocket Fuel in Australia. And we've got a link to that on the homepage of velocast.co.uk. So, as I say, support my favourite Aussie nutter, Susan, and support the Velocast by buying some very stylish caps.
Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening and staying subscribed. You can contact us by visiting our website at velocast.co.uk, where you can also find out how you can donate or subscribe to the show. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a comment or review in iTunes, as this really helps with other people discovering it. Well, we hope you can join us for tomorrow's stage and for another edition of the Velocast. We'll be right back.